in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Father, we acknowledge your presence. Thank you for the ministry of angels. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Let the eyes of our understanding be flooded with light. Thank you for this feast of light and fat things. At the end of the day, may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. Clap your hands, oh you people. I say clap your hands, oh you people. Is somebody excited in the house of the Lord? Come on, shout glory! You might be seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. I welcome you in God's presence. Flourishing in Famine, part what? Part 3. How many people are enjoying this teaching series, prophetic teaching series? Praise God. I said how many people are enjoying this prophetic teaching series? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Today will be part 3. Last week, Sunday, we looked at part 2. And on Friday, there are some things I teach that I don't even teach on Sunday. Praise God. So if you've not been coming for Friday Throne of Grace Encounter service, you are missing out. I would advise you, try and be getting the messages. For those that genuinely could not make it, just meet media. On Friday, I spoke about flourishing spiritually. And I said, high level spirituality is a foundation for this life of flourishing. And I said that teaching should have come earlier, because it is a very core, is a sure foundation for flourishing in all other areas of your life. When you get it right spiritually, when you have that high level spiritual intensity or intense spirituality, am I communicating? It fuels and powers your life to flourish in every other area. So please try and get that short and very powerful message. Was it up to 1 hour? I don't know whether 45 minutes or 1 hour or 50 minutes. Get that message. Praise God. Because today we'll be looking at something else. Glory to God. Flourishing in Famine, part 3. Psalm 92 is still our month of flourishing. I say it's still our month of flourishing. Because some people have even forgotten. You know, human beings are very funny. They like new things. They are just give them after 2 weeks. Some of them are forgotten. Praise God. Tell your neighbor again. Say, are you aware we are still in our month of flourishing? So how many more days to go? So you still have 7 more days to flourish.
Glory
before we enter July, and then you move to another dimension of flourishing. Because listen, the prophetic word focus for each month does not expire with the month. No, it doesn't expire with the month. Hey, listen, every new prophetic word is a build up. It doesn't expire. So if the prophetic word comes for July, it doesn't mean that of June or that of April, that of January till date has expired. No, it's a build up. Am I communicating? Psalm 92 verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And hope you know, these two trees that were mentioned, they don't know anything like dry season. They are unaffected by dry season. Even if rain does not fall, they have a very deep tap root system. They can tap into the water table. Am I communicating? Their root reaches deep and it can burst into the water table. So they get their water and nourishment deep down. They are deeply rooted. That's why they are unaffected by dry seasons. Unlike other trees, there are trees that die when there is no water for a long time, but not the palm tree, not the cedar in Lebanon. They have a deep tap root system and they are connected to the water table deep. That's why we said the depth of your spirituality is the foundation that determines the height of your flourishing. In the kingdom, height is a function of depth. Praise God. He said the remnant that are left of the house of Jacob, the house of Judah, they shall bear root downward and bear fruit upward. They shall first bear root downward, then they shall bear fruit upward. The fruitfulness is dependent on the rooting. Am I communicating? The depth of your spirituality determines the height of your flourishing. Glory to God. Genesis. Okay, I'll come to Genesis 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Next verse. It says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Notice that word. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be what? They shall be fat and flourishing. Hallelujah. Genesis 12 verse 10. The Bible says, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous. Now, we often read this story about the first famine that Abraham experienced. The patriarch Abraham, the father of faith, father of many nations. But there was something, as I studied, the Holy Spirit drew my attention to something that transpired before even the famine. Okay, let's go back to the previous verses. Let me show you something, because it's very important to our discussion. Look at verse 7. This was before that verse 10 that the famine occurred. Look at what happened. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. Are you seeing something? The Lord appeared unto Abraham. Abraham had an encounter with Jehovah. He had an encounter with the Lord. And there, Abraham builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Then verse 8.
And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. And what's the meaning of Bethel? The house of God, right? What's the meaning of Bethel? The house of God. And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, high on the east, and there he builded an altar. See, Abraham was a man of altars. He was a man of the altar. The first person to build an altar unto the Lord throughout the whole scriptures was Noah. After he came out of the ark, builded an altar, sacrificed those clean animals to the Lord. Am I communicating? After Noah, the second person we heard in scriptures that ever builded an altar unto the Lord was Abraham. Am I communicating? In this verse that we are reading, he builded an altar. He was a man of the altar. That's to show you the depth of his spirituality. Am I communicating? That's to tell you that he was intimate with God. He's showing you his life of intimacy with God. He built an altar to worship God, to serve God, even before there was ever a famine. No wonder the famine could not affect him negatively. Am I communicating? It matters the foundation that you have built. It matters your communion, your intimacy with the Lord. Am I communicating? You know, it was Leviticus 6:12 that says, the fire upon the altar must never go out. He said the fire must ever be burning. Do you know the Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is too small. It's not God's fault. The diagnosis is that your strength is too small. If you what? Faint. Okay, Message translation say, if you fall to pieces during crisis situation, during crisis moment, if you fall to pieces, there wasn't much to you in the first place. So you are expected to build capacity before crisis show up. Because crises are a test of your spiritual capacity. Crises come to test your spiritual stature, your stamina in the spirit. Am I communicating? Your level of strength, your capacity rating. Am I communicating? They come and test the strength of your spirit. Some people collapse under the weight of crisis moments. But those that have built strength, he said, for the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. Exploit is a function of strength, and you gain that strength by what? Your deep acquaintance, your intimacy with God. The people that do know, the Hebrew word know is yada, is talking of intimacy. Actually, you know, just the way a husband, you read that, and Adam knew his wife, is that same word yada. He's talking of intercourse. He's talking of intimacy. Am I communicating? The type of knowledge that comes through fellowship, the people that are deeply acquainted with their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. The power to do exploit is coming from that what? Intimacy with God. Intimate knowledge of God. Not the people that do know about their God. The people that do know their God. They know God through intimacy. They know God by revelation. Am I communicating? They know God experientially through encounters with him and through his word. Through word encounters, through encounters with the Holy Ghost, they have become deeply acquainted with God. They know God personally. Am I communicating? Because when crisis comes, what others told you about God will not help you at that moment. Is your personal revelation of God that will bail you out. Am I communicating? The people that do know their God, through fellowship, experientially, they shall be strong. In the days of famine, they will not faint. They will not be famished. Am I communicating? The people that do know their God, they shall be strong. And they shall do exploits. You will do exploits even in famine. But this is the key. Hallelujah. Manda bala kataya. Abraham was a man of the altar. It matters your spiritual routine. It matters. Proverbs 24:10. It says, give me a message translation. King James Version says, if you faint in the day of adversity. Okay, hold it here. Let me explain something here. There is such a thing as a day of adversity. When challenges, troubles, problems, wahala. When they come. It's not if they come, when. They will come. As long as you are on earth, they will come. Am I communicating? The real issue is not whether they came. The real issue is, do you know how to handle it? Do you know how to handle the challenges, the problems, the trouble? Do you know how to respond the right way? Do you know how to confront and conquer the Goliaths of life? Do you know how to confront and conquer the challenges, the troubles, the predicaments? There is no winner without a fight. No champion ever emerges without facing and conquering challenges. Have you ever seen anybody declare to be a heavyweight boxing champion that never fought any fight? Have you ever seen any? So when the Bible says you are more than a conqueror, that means there will be things to conquer. There will be, are you getting me? There must be a conquest. There will be challenges. There will be fights. There will be conflict. But he's saying that you are not a victim in this fight. Am I communicating? You have the advantage, which is a victory Christ has given us. So on the basis of that victory, you engage in the fight. That's why it's called the good fight of faith. Glory to God. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. He said, the fact that you are a pastor, and you know, Timothy later became the first bishop of the church in Ephesus. Bible scholars tell us the church in Ephesus so grew that they had over 100,000 members. But they were not meeting in cathedrals. They were meeting in houses, people's houses. Am I communicating? The churches were in people's houses. Timothy became the first bishop of the church in Ephesus that Apostle Paul planted. Paul still wrote to him, he said, fight the good fight of faith. He said that your ecclesiastical title, your pastoral title, your bishopric, is that how they call it? Your bishopric does not exempt you from fighting the good fight of faith. Even climbing the altar to preach, if you are not well loaded, is a risk. Have you not heard of this story? A pastor climbed to preach and started tearing his Bible and eating it. He ran mad. Life is spiritual, though. You think it's everybody that came to church to receive? Some came with jazz. As in, pastor came up to preach and ran mad and started tearing the Bible and eating it. People had to immediately rescue him, take him to psychiatric hospital. This thing is spiritual. Bishop Oyedepo said he was laying hands on people in impartation service, blessing them from his heart. And the Holy Spirit said, open your eye. Look on the line of the cube of the people that he was praying for. He saw somebody with a dagger. Can you imagine? Somebody with a dagger. They needed to round that one off. Protocol. Praise God. Then they handed him over to the police. So don't just get ready. Live ready. Life is a bad. I think I've been on this powerful series. Winning the War of Life. I think it's on Peace FM, right? So many testimonies coming from that series. Life is a battlefield. It's not a playground. It's not a playing ground. Life is a battle. Life is very spiritual. Am I communicating?
The Lord give you understanding. Exodus 23 verse 25. So we've established the fact that Abraham was a spiritual man. He was spiritually minded. He was a man of the altar. You must have an altar speaking in your favor in this life. Am I communicating? There are people wearing suit and tie in the morning, but they are carrying calabash in the night. Wearing only pants and white shirt, going to the riverside. But meanwhile, in the daytime, you see them in office with suit and tie. Life is spiritual, though. Make no mistake about it. Do you know there was a fire incident some years back that affected the United Nations, their headquarters in Abuja, their main building? Fire incident affected it some years back. So when they were evacuating some of the ruins and remains from the fire incidents, they were evacuating, they were surprised the things they saw in some people's office. Jazz, charm. And these are white men, directors, people wearing suit and tie, Chinese talisman, crystal balls, jazz, tarot card, all manner of things. Am I communicating? So don't be deceived by Queen's English, Tell your neighbor, life is spiritual. You must have a vibrant altar with blazing fire burning on it that must speak for you. Don't just go for that job interview normally. Don't just go normally, because some of the people competing with you for that job are not going normally. Praise God. You need spiritual backing. Glory to God. Exodus 23:25. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall what? Bless thy bread and thy water, and I will what? Take sickness away from the midst of thee. This is God speaking. Okay? You shall serve and he shall bless. Say with me, I shall serve and God shall bless. So your business is serve, his own business is bless. As long as you are not tired of serving, God is not tired of blessing. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. You know, last week I gave you three keys on how to flourish in famine. How many of you remember those three keys? Number one is through what? The ministry of God's word. Okay? You can get the message from our Telegram channel, AGMI Telegram channel. Then the second key is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, right? You flourish that way. Number three, the third key I gave you last week on how to flourish in famine is through the ministry of what? Through the ministry of a prophet, the sent one, the one, the anointed one sent to you. It's not everybody that is sent to you. Am I communicating? Now, today, I'll give you the fourth key on how to flourish in famine. And I'll pick only one because I'm going to talk extensively. It's one of the major keys. One of the major key you want to flourish in this season, even in famine, pay attention and make sure you apply this key. is called kingdom service. You flourish in famine as you engage in kingdom service. Kingdom service. Genuine service to God. Service to the body of Christ or the church, and service to humanity, the world of humanity at large. Kingdom what? Service. Why is kingdom service this important? Go back to that our reading, Exodus 23:25. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall what? Help me. He shall bless. Now watch this. Kingdom service is a major key to activate the blessing into manifestation. You shall serve and the Lord will bless. And we said, a believer's prosperity, your flourishing in famine, is based on the blessing of the Lord. Is based on the blessing covenant. And learning how to receive, function and flow in the blessing is the key to your prosperity. Having all your needs met, flourishing supernaturally, thriving where others are surviving. So, and I'm showing you one of the keys to activating the blessing. Yea, a major key, which is what? Engaging in kingdom service. It will activate the blessing over your life. Am I communicating? And the blessing will cause you to flourish supernaturally. The blessing will empower you to flourish and prosper in famine, to prosper in hard times. Am I communicating? Kingdom service activates the blessing. The believer is already blessed in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, the day you got born again, you were born into the blessing. Okay? So, you are not about to be blessed. You are already blessed. You were born blessed as a believer. Now, what you need to learn is how to activate that spiritual blessing into physical manifestation. Am I communicating? You must learn how to activate the blessing into physical manifestation. And I'm giving you a major key, which is what? Kingdom, help me. Kingdom service is a prime activator of the blessing. And the blessing will cause you to flourish in famine supernaturally. Exodus 23:25. Let me finish that reading. Ye shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless thy bread and thy water. That's talking of supernatural provision. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That's divine health. Am I communicating? Next verse, these are some of the blessings of kingdom service. It said, there shall nothing cast their young. Hallelujah. In other words, nothing like miscarriage. No near success syndrome. No failure at the edge of breakthrough. No, he remains small. Nothing like another one stepped in before me. He said, nothing shall what? Cast their young. You know, if you read Deuteronomy 28, one of the manifestations of the curse is that you will be engaged, betrothed to a lady, and another man will marry her. I read that one, I shout. I say, hey, yay! Just imagine. Tell your neighbor, not me. Because I'm blessed. Hallelujah. The blessing ensures you marry on time and you marry well. You marry rightly. You marry the right one. You marry on time and you marry well.
He said, "There shall not incast their young, nor be barren." The blessing destroys barrenness. Ayah, you didn't hear me. The blessing destroys barrenness. The blessing activated through kingdom service is a cure for barrenness. It shatters the yoke of barrenness, whether it is physical, as in biological barrenness, or financial barrenness, or barrenness in your business, barrenness in your career, barrenness in your job, in your academics, in your family. All forms of barrenness, they bow to the power of the blessing. Glory to God.
I just remembered a testimony. I'm just led to share it. Last year, I was invited for a program, annual Holy Ghost convention in Zaria. And while I was on the road, I went by commercial vehicle. I was on the road going. The Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, "There is a woman in that program." He said, "There is a woman that when I go, I should minister to her. That this woman has been barren. She has been believing God for a child. She has been praying. And then the Lord told me her time has come." I went for the program. I ministered. One of the sessions was a miracle service. So while I was ministering the miracle service, the Holy Ghost reminded me that woman's case again, so that I don't forget. Then I mentioned a case. When I mentioned the case, the host pastor that invited me, he just turned and looked his wife and smiled. He said, "We know the woman. That we know her case very well. She has been trusting God. And thank God she was around." Because sometimes some people, it's the day that God have decided to visit you. The demons will convince you not to come to church that day, or not to come for the program. That's how some people miss the day of their visitation. You don't know? I've gone for meetings that God mentioned some cases to me, but the people were not there for the service. They didn't come. And if you ask the person, why were you not around? They will give reasons, so, but they don't know that it's part of Satan's strategy to stop them from receiving their blessing. But thank God that woman was around for the meeting. So I ministered to her. That was last year, November. I think recently, like 2-3 weeks back, she sent me a message on WhatsApp that God has done it too. That she is now over how many weeks pregnant. I've forgotten how many weeks. I was sharing with my wife. I was so happy for her after how many years of barrenness. The impartation of the blessing will destroy barrenness. Am I communicating? In any and every area of your life. It says, "The number of thy days will I what? Fulfill." The blessing that is activated through kingdom service, it will what? Prevent premature death. It will secure long life. It promotes longevity. Am I communicating? You will not die like a chicken. No, you cannot die like a chicken. Am I communicating? See, the benefits of kingdom service are so many. I'm just going ahead of myself. Maybe later I will throw more light on this. But let's do a little definition of terms. What is kingdom service? What is kingdom service? We are looking at engaging the key of kingdom service to flourish in famine. What is kingdom service? Number one, it means investing all that you are and all that you have into service to God and humanity. Investing all that you are and all that you have into what? Service to God and humanity.
and thereby advancing and establishing the kingdom of God on earth and being a blessing to humanity. So as you engage in that kingdom service, the kingdom of God is advanced and established in the earth realm, and then you become a blessing to humanity. The first definition I gave is investing all that you are and all that you have into service to God and humanity, thereby advancing and establishing the kingdom of God on earth and being a blessing to humanity. Number two, what is kingdom service? It is using your life and everything you have to do the work of the ministry. Using your life and everything you have to do what? The work of what? The ministry. Ephesians 4:11. You know, most of the times when we talk about the work of the ministry, the average Christian and even unbelievers, they think this way, that it is pastors that should do the work of the ministry. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, they are the one doing the work of. You know, most of the time when people greet me, say, well done, sir, how is the ministry? I'm tempted to ask them too, how is the ministry? Because in their mind, they think the fivefold are the ones that are supposed to do the work of the ministry. But they don't know that every born-again believer in Christ has been entrusted with and has been given a special ministry in Christ. You have received a ministry, and God expects that you should do the work of the ministry in your sphere of influence, in your workplace, in the marketplace, in your school. Am I communicating? That work of the ministry is kingdom service. What is ministry in one word? You know, some people don't understand ministry. They think ministry is starting a church. Ministry means service. Let me tell you about ministry. Means service. So the person serving in sanctuary department in AGMI that is cleaning toilet, mopping the floor, is in ministry. He's a minister. That is ministry. The person doing protocol work is in ministry. So when they ask you, when are you starting the ministry? I'm already doing ministry. Look at how intimacy team bless us. You understand? Mrs. Sambo, you understand? Mrs. Mercy, I was so blessed. Now, that is ministry. Okay, is it when you rent hall, hire microphone, hire keyboard, you understand, and then print poster, and then post one wicked post, man of God with faith and power, you know, is that when ministry has started? You know, that's the mindset people have about ministry. Ministry in one word is service. If God have called you as a believer to the mountain of politics and government, and then you go there, you are serving there as a leader in the secular world, you are already doing ministry. Read Romans chapter 13. Those believers that are in government, those called to serve in that area, the Bible calls them ministers. I think like three times. He said they are ministers of God. So they are in ministry. Governor Caleb Mutfwang is in ministry. So if I meet him, I'll say, sir, how is the ministry? Because it is ministry. Am I communicating? Kingdom service is equal to doing the work of the ministry. Steadfast playing keyboard is doing ministry. Every form of kingdom service is ministry. Look at Ojima do on that laptop in media. She is doing ministry. I better clap for them now. So ministry is not only when you print big poster and pull billboard everywhere. Are you getting me? understand the concept of ministry. We have all been called into different areas. There are diversities of callings, but the same God. Diversities of administration. And we've been given grace to fulfill our specific callings or ministries. Glory to God. And that area is about rendering service. Ministry is all about rendering service. Am I communicating? Service to God and humanity. God will not reward the pastor more than the usher. God will not reward the apostle more than the usher. No, what God rewards is not title. God rewards faithfulness to your assignment. Listen. Oh. If the usher in a church is more faithful to a ministry of ushering than the general overseer at the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to see surprises. Oh. You will be shocked that she will be rewarded by Jesus more than that general overseer, more than the apostle. That his face is everywhere. Am I communicating? It's about faithfulness. What God rewards is faithfulness. Nobody may be clapping for you. You may not always be in the limelight, but it doesn't mean what you are doing is of less importance. You may not be in intimacy team that is always coming up, or you may even be in intimacy team, but you are wondering why don't they always choose you? Why doesn't MP Sam choose you among those that will stand in front? Say, wait, now every time the smoke will sit down there, do back up. Now, wow, calm down. Just be faithful. It's not about which person's face they are seeing all the time. What God rewards is not popularity. What God rewards is what? Faithfulness. See, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness to the assignment, to the work. That's what God rewards. So, all this eye service, no reward for eye service. Oh. You know, there are people that once the leader is not around, they don't work. Oh. They only work when the leader is around. In they come, in they come. Okay, in they come. What God reward is what? Heart service, not eye service. God reward what? Heart service. He says, serve wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Am I communicating? Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and what? Teachers. Watch this. Next verse. He said, for the perfecting of the saints. So Jesus, after he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gifts to men, and these gifts he gave are not things, is what? Fivefold ministry gift, the gift of men. Am I communicating? And what? And he said this fivefold ministry gift that Jesus gave as a gift to the church, to his body, are the apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. And look at their job description. Look at it. Number one, for the perfecting of the saint. So, my job as a man of God is to perfect you, equip you. The Greek word is katatismos. For the full furnishing. You know the way you furnish a house. Am I communicating? For the perfecting of the saint, it says, comma, for the work of the ministry. A better translation says, for the perfecting of the saints, so that they will do the work of the ministry. Because it is after the saints have been well equipped, they've been well furnished, am I communicating? They are well trained and equipped and empowered, then they can now effectively and efficiently do the work of the ministry. So who is supposed to do the work of the ministry from what we just read? The saints. So the church is an equipping center. When you come for service like this, see it as another equipping session. I'm going to be equipped so that I can effectively and efficiently carry out my ministry. Am I communicating? In the marketplace and in the world. Am I communicating? So, going to church is not another boring religious session. No, it's an equipping session. Tell your neighbor, it's an equipping session. So that you can be perfected to do the work of the ministry. The church is a training center. The church is a training ground. You know the way they train soldiers in NDA, in what's the name? Officers are trained in NDA. The other regular soldiers, where do they train them? In Zaria. Help depot. The church is like that depot. The church is like that NDA. It's a training and equipping center. So that you can effectively and efficiently do the work of the ministry. That's engage in kingdom service and bring profit to the kingdom. Am I communicating? For the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Edifying means to build up. To build up the body of Christ. Am I communicating? To build up the body of Christ. So you come to be trained. You come to church to be equipped. You come to church to be empowered. You come to church to be edified. To be built up. You can never grow and develop spiritually in a normal way outside of the church. Impossible. Am I communicating? I like this. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do. Can you see that? After the saints have been perfected, equipped by the fivefold ministry, he said that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What is kingdom service? Let's move on. It means, number three, utilizing and deploying your all. Utilizing and deploying your all into our Father's business in order to profit the kingdom and bless humanity. Luke 2:49. Kingdom service also refers to utilizing and deploying your all into our Father's business in order to profit the kingdom and bless humanity. At the age of 12, Jesus already knew his messianic mission on earth, and he was focused and committed to it. He said unto them, when his parents came, bothered about him, they were looking for him, he said, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must, somebody say must. See, kingdom business, our Father's business, is not optional. It's not an option. It's not an elective thing. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I must be about my Father's business. Kingdom service is our Father's business. So we deploy and utilize our everything, our life and everything we have, into our Father's business. Is it not wisdom to invest everything in your Father's business? And guess what? It guarantees the highest dividend, the highest return on investment. So, kingdom service is utilizing and deploying your all into our Father's business in order to profit the kingdom and bless humanity. Acts 6 verse 3. The early church, the apostle, called kingdom service our Father's business. When there was a clash between administration and spirituality, look at what they say. Say, let us delegate. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. over this business. So the Bible calls kingdom service business, our Father's business. So you must be busy about that business. Tell your neighbor, get busy about kingdom service. You know, anything they say, business, it requires seriousness. It requires diligence. And you engage in it to make profit, to bring profit. God is a very serious businessman. But his own profit is not in naira and kobo. His profit is in souls. God is a shrewd and wise businessman. His profit is in what? In souls. The souls of men. Hallelujah. Say, I receive grace to engage in kingdom business tirelessly. What is kingdom service? The third definition, which is the last I will give you among the definitions, okay? It means wholehearted devotion and dedication to God. Wholehearted devotion and dedication to God, comma, unwavering commitment. Unwavering commitment to the cause of his kingdom. Kingdom service means wholehearted devotion and dedication to God and unwavering commitment to his kingdom cause or agenda. So, when you are engaged in kingdom service, you are completely sold out to God. You are completely sold out to the cause of his kingdom. You are completely sold out to doing his will, not your own will. Am I communicating? You are committed to doing the will of your Father, your Master, your Lord. Am I communicating? You are completely sold out to him, to his cause. Jesus said, anyone that put his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for kingdom service. So it requires focus. 100% focus and attention without distractions. Am I communicating? Kingdom service is so serious that a man asked Jesus, he said, my father just died, though. We are planning burial. He said, should I go and bury him first? He said, Jesus, wait for me. Let me go and bury him first. Then after the whole thing, the funeral and everything will now follow you. Look at what Jesus told him. He says, come and follow me. Oh. Come and do kingdom business. He said, let the dead bury their dead. He said, anyone who put his hand to the plow and looks back, he said, he's not even fit. He's disqualified from kingdom service. So, it requires total devotion, complete concentration, laser beam focus. Am I communicating? You know, some of you that are students, you only serve when school is on session. Do, how do they say it in it's a do that say do, ba? Well done, oh. Una, well done, oh. You have not still, it shows that you have not still understood kingdom service. So, we are still praying for you. And we'll continue to teach you. You only show when school is on session. After last exam, you've already booked your flight ticket or transportation ticket. You now excitedly call your HOD. It's time to go home. Now, well done. Some of them will hear this message. They are at home. Your jungle never mature. Praise God. You never still understand kingdom service. Praise God. If you want to do ministry like you, one day you will come, you will not see anybody. Praise God. I say praise God. Now, write this down. You were saved to serve. You were saved to what? Serve. The essence of salvation is service. This body, even the body is doing kingdom service. The essence of salvation is what? Service. Service to God. Service to the body of Christ. Service to the world of humanity. Praise God. Many people don't know this. You were saved to serve God. You were saved to serve the body of Christ. You were saved by God to serve humanity. The essence of salvation is kingdom service. Am I communicating? Even the children of Israel, give me Exodus 7:16. God delivered them from Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. So them, their Exodus, their, by a mighty outstretched hand, God delivered them from Egyptian bondage and captivity. That is like a typology of our redemption. Am I communicating? He brought us out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the bondage in that kingdom of darkness, which is a type of Egypt. God saved his covenant people. He brought them out for what purpose? Let's look at it. He said, "And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying," this is God instructing Moses to speak to Pharaoh. He said, "Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness." And remember, wilderness is a place characterized by what? Drought. Characterized by extremes of temperature. During the day, very hot. During the night, very cold. And there are so many wild animals, including fiery serpents and all of that. They are all in the... Okay. We'll come back here. Give me Deuteronomy 8:15. I want to show you some characteristics of the wilderness, to show you that drought or famine is part of the things that people can experience in the wilderness journey. Glory to God. He said, "Who led thee," talking about how God led the children of Israel through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were what? Fiery serpents. And prophetically speaking, serpents represent demons. He said, "Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions," okay, "and drought." And drought. Are you seeing something? Where there was no water, no water. Drought, famine. These are characteristics of the wilderness experience. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of the flint? God provided water for them supernaturally. Now go back to our reading so you get it now. God, the essence why he's bringing them out is so that they will serve him. God saved them from Egypt so that they will serve him in the wilderness. If you don't want to suffer drought and suffer famine and suffer thirst and hunger in the wilderness, you don't want to suffer famine and all of that, you must be committed to kingdom service. Am I communicating? Serving God with your life and your all. He says that they may serve me in the wilderness, and behold, hitherto thou wilt not hear. This is God speaking to Moses to tell Pharaoh. Praise God. Now give me 8:1, Exodus 8:1. You will see a similar expression. Tell your neighbor again, you were saved to serve God and his purposes. You are not saved to serve yourself. You have a master. Do you know what it means when you say Jesus is my Lord and my Savior? You know, many people understand Jesus as their Savior, but they don't understand that Lord part. I heard this story that a white man, that they want to lead the man to Christ. They were preaching to him. Then at a point, the minister then said, He told the white man that, "Are you ready to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" The white man said, "As my Lord and Savior." The white man said, "No, not yet." Then I asked him why. He said, "Because you understand the meaning of that word, Lord." He said, "You mean you will be my master? You will be the one controlling me?" He said, "I'm not ready yet." You know, sometimes some of you just say the salvation prayer, you don't understand the meaning of what you are saying, you know. Some of you understand Jesus as your Savior, but you don't understand that Lord part. Lord means master. Lord means controller. You don't have a will of your own again. You do the will of your master. Am I communicating? If he tells you, get up, get up. If he says, sit down, sit down. If he says, empty your account, give me. You do it. Anything he tells you to do. That's the meaning of Lord. But a lot of people have not submitted to his lordship. Hallelujah. Exodus 8:1. The Lord spake unto Moses. He said, "Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me." Double emphasis. What is the purpose why Pharaoh should let them go? That they may serve me. So that's why I made that statement. You were saved to serve. The next statement. Genuine love for God and humanity is the basis for successful kingdom service. Galatians 5:13. Genuine love for God and humanity. Love. Genuine love for God and humanity is the basis for successful kingdom service. You cannot serve God if you don't love him. If you can't even serve the body of Christ if you don't love the body of Christ. You cannot serve humanity if you don't love humanity. Love is a basis for service. Hallelujah. Sometimes my wife see the way I prepare to minister, and then she's really touched. It's because I love you people. Am I communicating? Me too, I'm serving. All of us are serving. We will all be rewarded based on our faithfulness. Don't think that Jesus will give me more reward than you. If you are more faithful than me, as an usher, or as a sanctuary keeper, or as a person in intimacy or protocol, if you are more faithful than me in service, you will receive more reward than me. But if I'm more faithful than you, unto all. I'm only joking. Praise God. So, what God rewards is faithfulness. Because I love you. That's why I'm motivated to prepare well, to be a blessing, to study, to pray, and all of that, to research, so that I can be a blessing. Love is the basis for service. He says, "For brethren," Galatians 5:13, "ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Let's read that last part together. 1, 2, 3, go. "But by love serve one another." Again, "but by love serve one another." Then verse 14. It says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." This is the summary of the Ten Commandments. Love. Love. Love for God and love for your neighbor. And the only way we measure your love for God is your love for your neighbor. That's why you see Apostle Paul, who only love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you can love a human being, that is easier to love. Listen. It's easier to love human beings that you see than to love God that you cannot see. And the proof that you love the unseen God is the way you love a seen human being. Am I communicating? If you read Jesus' summary of the Ten Commandments, he says, "Love the Lord your God and then love your neighbor." Okay? Is that Jesus said, "Love God, love your neighbor." But when you see Apostle Paul's summary, he omitted that "love God." Did you notice? He just said, "love your neighbor." Was he wrong? No. He was not wrong, because the way we measure your love for God is your love for your fellow human being. is a measure of your love for God. The more you love God, the more, if you are married, the more you will love your husband, the more you will love your wife. If you check, most of the times, is that period that your love for God is low, that your husband or your wife will become more irritating to you. As a man, you will see yourself not loving her the way you are supposed to. Why? Because your love for God that is supposed to power and fuel your love for your wife, that one is low. So if you want this one to increase, increase that one. Am I communicating? Your love for God determines your love for your wife as a married man. The more you love God, the more you will love your wife. So wives that are wise, they will help their husband to love God more. Does it make sense? Because they know that the more this man loves God, the more he will love me. Am I communicating? And you singles, hoping and planning and praying to be married, marry somebody that loves God like Kilode. They did not hear that one. If I say marry somebody that has Bugatti, Rolls Royce, that has plenty money, they will hear that one very well. But listen, if you marry a rich man that does not love God, you don't enter one chance. One of the number one thing you should check the man's heart for God. Check his love for God. Because he can never love you more than he loves God. Never. Beyond his money, beyond all those things, check, does he love God? If he does not love God and is not committed to serving God, no Mariam. I say so. I'm sure I have pastors in the house that will agree with me. You understand? Some people have married money. You marry the man because of money. So why are you complaining that he's treating you like one of his properties? He does not love God. He has money. You don't even know how he made his money. So one of these days he may use you to renew his wealth. Praise God. You want to use one of the cars? Ha! Have I not warned you never to touch? Do you know how much I bought this Rolls Royce? He values the money more than you. Sorry, he values the car more than his wife. These are the things you get. You bargain for it because you married him because of money. You didn't check his heart for God, his love for God. Say, I receive grace to marry well. Marry a spiritual man. See, every marriage will reflect the spiritual condition of the two people in the marriage, the husband and the wife. Every marriage will reflect the spiritual condition of both spouses. And your character is determined by your spirituality. The highest measure of your spirituality is your character, your love work. Am I communicating? And you need good character to make marriage work. Or else two of you will be throwing punches every day. They will have to be settling quarrels for you every day. You will become prayer point. Am I communicating? Major or majors, when it comes to choosing spouse, there are some things that are non-negotiable. They must be there. For instance, the person's heart and love for God. Very basic. Am I communicating? That one must be there. The will of God, that one is also an absolute requirement. Don't major or minors. Don't minor on what? Majors. We'll talk now. They go here through this ear. It go come out until why you all are setting. That will not be your portion. Me, I don't tell you. No, say I don't tell you. Praise God. I say praise God. Marriage is sweet. Marriage is sweet. You understand? It's good. Sweet. You know, there are some marriages you look, you are inspired. Praise God. But marry who love God, though. So love is the basis for kingdom what? Some ladies know they hear. See, marry brother in church. Marry somebody that loves God. They know here. Now the one way they meet for the one way they go club. See, because it's yeah, pastor is very romantic and he takes good care of me. Does he love God? Romance go turn into what it go turn into without the love of God? Violence, oh. Violence will become something else. Love is the basis. In John 21:15-19, Jesus asked Peter repeatedly, "Lovest thou me more than this? Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb." Am I communicating? I feed you with the word in season. Rich quality word. Because I love you. Praise God. I say love for God and humanity is the basis for kingdom service. A minister is a servant. Now, next. For your kingdom service rendered to be acceptable to God, it must be done with purity of motive and the right attitude of your heart. So two things are needed here for acceptable kingdom service. Number one, purity of motive. You must have pure motive, not ulterior motive. You must serve with the right motive, with the right attitude of your heart. Look up. While kingdom service is acceptable to God, the attitude of your heart can make it not acceptable. When you serve with the wrong attitude of heart, when you are doing eye service, you are serving for with ulterior motives, you are serving because of personal gain, you are looking for what to get, what to grab, what to hold on to in terms of position, power, possessions, all those things, you have the wrong motive. It will not be acceptable. But when you serve with the right attitude, it is acceptable. Be motivated to serve by love. Love for God, love for humanity. Be motivated to serve by love and the desire to see Jesus revealed and Jesus glorified. Your goal is to glorify Jesus in service. Your goal is to reveal Him, thus advancing His kingdom and blessing humanity. Be passionate about revealing Jesus, glorifying Jesus, advancing His kingdom, and being a blessing to humanity. When you serve with the right motive, it will attract the blessing. Glory to God. The next point is, there is no genuine service without sacrifice. You can't truly engage in kingdom service without sacrifice. They go together. The two are inseparable. Service goes with sacrifice. Kingdom service requires love-motivated sacrifice. Sacrifice of your life. Sacrifice of self. Sacrifice of time. Sacrifice of energy, your effort. Sacrifice of your talent, your gift, your potentials. Sacrifice of your treasures. Sacrifice of your treasure, that's your money and material resources. There is no genuine kingdom service without sacrifice. You can't separate both. It will cost you. David said, "I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing." The threshing floor of Arauna. Arauna wanted to offer the king David his threshing floor for free. David said no. He had to pay for it. True kingdom service will cost you. It involves sacrifice. If your service to God and humanity is not costing you anything, Kai, I
I make bold to tell you, you are not serving the way you ought. Genuine service comes with a cost. It requires a lot of sacrifice. Praise God. The next point is, intimacy with God comes before kingdom service. Intimacy with God must precede kingdom service. Fellowship with God precedes ministry and determines its success. So, the effectiveness and efficiency of your kingdom service is determined by what? Your intimacy with God or your fellowship with God. Am I communicating? Okay, Mark chapter 3 verse 13. Watch this. Mark 3 13. You don't put the cart before the horse. Putting kingdom service before fellowship or intimacy with God is like putting the cart before the horse. Am I communicating? You put the horse first, then the cart follows, right? So which one should come first? Intimacy or kingdom service? Yeah. Because the wisdom, the anointing, the fire, everything you need for that kingdom service to be effective and efficient will come from your intimacy, your communion with God. You draw it from there. Am I communicating? You will struggle to serve. You will struggle in kingdom service if you neglect intimacy with God. Jesus, he goeth up into a mountain, called unto him whom he would, that's the 12 disciples, and they came unto him. Next verse. And he ordained, watch this, he ordained 12 that they should be with him. Their first job description is that they should be with him. That's intimacy, communion with God. Fellowship with God comes first. Tell your neighbor, fellowship with God comes first. Before ministry, before kingdom service, fellowship with God comes first. That they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. That sending forth to preach is what? Kingdom service, ministry. So ministry is second. Am I communicating? Next verse. And to have power to heal the sick. That's empowerment for kingdom service comes third. Can you see the order? Intimacy or fellowship with God comes first. Then the commissioning to go and engage in kingdom service follows. Then the commensurate empowerment follows. Are you seeing something? This is very important. Kalo boko shalabakatai. Mande bresko tequila branda kapalatia. All fruitfulness in kingdom service flows from intimacy with God. Write it down. All fruitfulness in kingdom service flows from intimacy with God. Is a secret of every fruitful kingdom service. You want to produce result? Give attention to your communion with God through his word, through the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, there are two broad areas of kingdom service. Okay, two broad categories of kingdom service, two broad areas. Number one is general service. General service. Number two is specific or special service. Glory to God. The first one is what? General service. It's just like you came into AGMI and God leads you to serve here, and then you fill the form, and then you say, where do you want to serve? You put ushering department. Or where do you want to serve? Welfare. You are in good company. Somebody say general service. Somebody might have a calling, specific calling, to be into politics and governance, to be the next president or governor, and the person is serving in intimacy, maybe as a drummer or as a keyboardist, like my guy here, Celebrate Steady. Now, listen. General service is a beginning point, and it's very important. I will tell you why it's important. Because many people neglect it. General service is the first category. Do you know even the almighty Apostle Paul that we celebrate? How did he start his journey of kingdom service? Study the Bible. He started with general service. Okay, Acts chapter 11, 27. Acts 11, 27. Let me show you something there. Do you know Apostle Paul was in welfare department before? The first place he served was welfare. We'll see it. I'll prove it to you, since you don't want to believe me. No, many are in a hurry to be a prophet and apostle. Let's see where Apostle Paul started his journey. Welfare. Don't look down on welfare department. Even Stephen and Philip, they started by serving tables. Man, welfare has done wonders in scriptures. Philip, the almighty evangelist, even Stephen, before he died as a martyr, the Bible says he did great signs and wonders. But where did he start from? Welfare. He was chosen among the seven deacons, Philip and Stephen. They were chosen to serve tables. Who are the people that serve food? In any church department, who are the people? Talk to me now. We did a kingdom leader leadership capacity building summit. Who are the people that serve you food? Now chop the meat, clean mouth. Now no one talk now. Who are the people that served you food? Philip served there. Stephen served there. We later read that Philip became a mighty evangelist too. That one is specific call. But where did he start? Did he start from specific? No, he started as what? You see, in the things of the spirit, we move from the unknown to the known. That's how it works, from the general to the specific. Some people will sit down at home and be doing 1 million days prayer and fasting. Say they want God, show me. God say, come and join one of the departments. From there I will show you. Are you getting me? Follow the right order. Pastor David Ipiomi of Salvation Ministry, he said when he was serving in Living Faith then in Anawepaja, he served as a communion steward. He also served in the sanctuary as in toilet department. See, they were looking for volunteers when he was doing his WOFB. They were looking for people to serve in toilet. He said he was the only one that lifted up his hand. He was the first hand. Then I think one or two other person lifted. He said it was in that toilet while scrubbing, excitedly serving the Lord, flushing poo-poo, you know, cleaning. That was where God opened his eyes. He met his wife. Some of you don't know what you are missing when you are not serving in the house of the Lord. Some people are looking at Pastor Nenkup and Pastor Gift. They're there, Metroza, they wear you. Where did Pastor Nenkup located his wife? Where did Pastor Gift located her husband? Service in this house. Kingdom service. Somebody say, these church girls, church men, self, you get as a B. Where else should you marry? Okay, go marry for club. Go marry club men now. Go marry club women. Oh, now they break bottle for each other head in the marriage. You understand? The church still remains. I'm not saying the church is perfect too. That's why he gave ministry gift for the perfecting of the saint. And then we are here to guide you. You understand? But the church still remains the best place.
He said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Am I communicating? You people, you don't want me to read my story. Acts 11. And in these days came prophet from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Next verse. And one of them was prophet Agabus. Next verse, please. Very fast. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth. That dearth means severe famine, great famine throughout all the world. You see, nothing takes God by surprise. Before the famine, the prophet of God have already given a prophetic revelation. There was a word of wisdom so that the church can prepare and take the necessary action. Is it which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar? Next verse. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief. That's welfare ministry. To send relief materials unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. That's Jerusalem church. There were poor saints in the Jerusalem church. Okay? Next verse. Which also they did. Watch this. How did they do it? Which also they did and sent it to the elders. That's the elders of the church in Judea. By the hands of what? At this point, there is no prophet in front. At this point, there is no apostle. Brother Paul and Brother Barnabas. They started from welfare. When they gathered those relief material, they gave them. They didn't complain. They didn't say, with all my prophetic ororo, this is my apostolic oil. So you look down on me, finish. You can't put me for welfare. See, man, they serve food. With this my apostolic oil, now God go judge between me and you. You understand? They didn't say that too. Look at it. Then later you will hear they were prophets and teachers in Acts chapter 13. That ministers' conference in the church in Antioch. So they started from welfare ministry. As they did it faithfully, they served there. God promoted them. They moved from general to what? Specific. Prophet, teacher, then separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. The apostolic ministry began. Can you see the journey? If you are not serving in the house of God, you don't know what you are missing. Praise God. The same thing with Philip in Acts chapter 6. Verse 3 that we read, you see how they appointed 7 deacons to serve tables in order to solve that crisis during the distribution of food. The Grecian women were complaining that their widows were neglected in the daily food distribution. The early church had a very solid welfare ministry. They were doing daily food distribution. Am I communicating? And then they said, let's delegate 7 deacons. Let them serve in welfare. Philip and Stephen were chosen. We later read that Stephen was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And he did great signs and wonders among the people. Am I communicating? Signs and wonders has nothing to do with your department that you are serving. Anybody. They were in welfare. And then Philip, we later read about Philip in Acts chapter 8. He went down to the city of Samaria, 5-8. Acts 8, 5-8. And you saw that city-wide crusade that Philip, the evangelist, did. But he didn't start out as an evangelist. Even though he had a calling to be an evangelist. But notice he started serving in the general category. In the table. So some people are so bothered about their particular calling. I always tell them, join a service unit. Start from the general. Where you are faithful there, God will move you to the specific. Am I communicating? We later read that he had, is it 7 or 4 daughters that were virgins? 4. And all of them
They prophesied. The gift of prophecy was functioning in them. That's Philip, the evangelist. Did a mighty crusade in Samaria. Demons, casted out demons, deliverances, healings, all manner of things. Glory to God. So be committed to kingdom service. So it starts with general service in the house of God, and that is where you are trained and equipped for your specific service in the area of your calling. Am I communicating? So you learn to move from general to specific. Your specific or special area of service is in the area of your calling, your divine calling. Okay, we have all been called. There are those that are called to fivefold ministry. There are those that their calling will be fulfilled in the marketplace. So depending on the, some are called to be doctors, lawyers. Am I communicating? Your career, your profession is a platform to fulfill your divine calling and assignment. I say your career is a platform for fulfilling your divine calling. Glory to God. Write this down. What are the areas of kingdom service? Areas. Number one, you start with service in the house of God. You see that in Psalm 92 verse 12. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they are planted. They shall flourish in the courts of our God. The first area you should engage in kingdom service is service in the house of God. Okay? You must be planted. You can never see any tree or any plant that is not planted and is flourishing. Have you ever seen any? As in the plant or tree is suspended in the air. Eh? If you uproot a tree from wherever it is planted, just put it in the air for some days, what will happen? It will dry up, it will wither. So it starts with being planted in the house of the Lord. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Do you want to flourish? Get planted. Tell your neighbor, get planted in the house of the Lord. Be spirit led. You see, it's not every church or every ministry you should be planted. You need to be led by the Spirit. Okay? God said, I will give you shepherds after my heart. Not everybody is your shepherd. Okay, so be spirit led. It is said that the most important choice you can ever make is a choice to receive and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be born again. After that one, the second most important choice or decision you can ever make is who to marry. Your choice of marriage partner. After that one, the third most important choice is choice of which church or ministry to you will be planted and serve. So it's the third most important choice, because your entire life and destiny will be affected by that choice. Am I communicating? So be led by the Spirit. Don't be sentimental about that. Am I communicating? Don't be sentimental when it comes to those kind of important decisions. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Be spirit led. Be spirit led. So service in the house of God is important. Join a service unit. Don't just be a regular Sunday member. Join a service unit where you will be effective in kingdom service. Whether it is prayer department, or whether it is ushering, or protocol, or intimacy. Some of you know how to play drum. Use your talent, use your gift, the one God gave you. Use it to serve God.
Some people are very good with drumming, and meanwhile, we are looking for drummers, and they are just sitting in the congregation. You better run to report yourself. Say, I sabi play drum. Let me use this gift God gave me to serve God. Hallelujah. This is very important. I heard the story of this protocol officer in there are even two of them. There is one in Koza. The guy is so learned protocol work that he took online courses on protocol. Even attended some this thing online abroad concerning protocol. He became so good that he ended up, God led him to start a security organization. That it is said that in Nigeria, that security organization is started. Even Jagaban, the president of Nigeria, hired, as in partners with him, hired some of his staff to be part of the security in Aso Rock. That is how excellent the guy is. But how did he start? He started as protocol in church. I heard of another protocol guy in House on the Rock, Abuja, that he started serving there, and he was looking for how to improve protocol. He will go online, download, watch YouTube videos, you know, how to be a good protocol officer. You know, he was looking for how to become better. The guy became so good that he was so excellent that people, as in churches and even organizations, they started contracting him to come and train their protocol staff. To come and train their protocol team. It got to a point that they were paying him $1,000. $1,000. He would train them, and he doesn't miss his own church service. Saturday, Sunday, fiao. If he means to take flight, he will take flight. He doesn't miss Sunday service. Even some people, I say, I don't blow. That will be the end. They will stop serving in their church. You know, people are very funny. The same church that God used to raise you. Now money don't come, you don't run. My level don't pass that church. But when you were there, your level no pass the church. When God saw you there and lifted you, your level no pass the church. Now money don't come. I look for one church where touche. May that never be you. Am I communicating? So, I was so happy about the story. The part that even touched me is the fact that the guy did not allow the fact that God have raised him to make him to reduce his commitment to the church. It doesn't matter where he goes to train people, he's going back to his church on Sunday. Praise God. So get involved. Serve. Don't do eye service. Serve with all your heart. Be punctual. Come on time. Be passionate. Glory to God. Are you aware that we are in the royal service of the King of Kings? Oh, you didn't get it. Now, if somebody is working for Chevron or one of those oil companies, Shell, do you know they are proud that they are staff of Shell? They are proud. They move around with that, you understand, because they know what it means. They know what it means. And then the arm robber salary. Oh, sorry, forgive me. When I say arm robber salary, I mean big salary that comes with that offer. You know, they are so proud of it. Imagine if U.S. President Joe Biden tell you that, come and serve as my maybe assistant, my PA. How will you feel? Eh? How will you feel? You know, because I see the way some people serve. They look sad. It's as if they are forcing them. They look so moody. Do you know who you are serving for? If U.S. President, come and serve as my PA, In fact, that night you will not even sleep. You just laugh anyhow, and yet you are not mad. You are so excited because you are looking at the person you are serving for. And we are talking of Jehovah here. No US president. We are not even talking of governor. We are not talking of Jagaban. We are talking of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that began the beginning before the beginning began. Jehovah himself. You are in the King's royal service. God may not pay like federal government at the end of every month, but I love what Kenneth Hagin says. He says God pays, and he pays better than any earthly government. The government of heaven will pay you far better. There is a comprehensive welfare package for every genuine kingdom servant. As a staff in the royal kingdom service of the kingdom, I'm telling you, if you serve well, God will pay you. God is faithful. I can tell you that from experience. If you serve well, God will pay you. He may not pay like federal government every month end. He may not pay every week. But when payday comes, even you will know. God normally adds arrears. Hey, he pays with arrears and backlogs. Am I communicating? Every kingdom servant is on God's payroll, and the pay package is the best. It's robust. Why is it better than any earthly government salary? Because it covers every area of your life. Only God can pay you like that. Tell me, which civil servant or US citizen is receiving a pay package remuneration that covers every area of their life? Tell me. None. It's only money they will pay you. At best, official car, official house, money and material things. But God's comprehensive welfare package covers every area. It's called the blessing. That blessing will give you money. That blessing will produce what money cannot buy. That blessing will produce what money can buy. That blessing will produce money itself. It covers your health. Look at it there. You shall serve the Lord your God. Exodus 23:25. He shall bless thy bread, thy water. Your provision is secured. And I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. Can oil company do that one for you? Am I communicating? Your life is secured. Arrows from the village is covered. No government job or any other work on earth has answer to arrow from the village. Once they pay your salary, they are done with you. We say he will give his angel charge concerning you. It's a comprehensive part. It will deliver you from accident. Kalu fretila katai. Supernatural protection is part of the welfare package. Supernatural preservation is part of the welfare package. Long life, longevity is part of the welfare package. Am I communicating?
Yes,
Jesus said, he that serveth me, him will my Father honor. Honor is the end point of kingdom service. The shortest cut to greatness in this kingdom is kingdom service. Are you seeing that? Can you remember the sons of Zebedee? That they were striving who should be the greatest. The mother came and carried, he said, Jesus, please, I have one request. Let my two children, you know, mothers love their children. So let my two children, that's James and John. He said, I have only this request. Let them sit at your right hand and at your left hand in your kingdom. That is talking of honor. That's talking of greatness. Then Jesus said, what? He said, can you go through the baptism that I will be baptized with? Talking about the suffering. Can you pay that, make that sacrifice? He said, even if you do, it's not in my power to determine who will sit where. Then Jesus went ahead to show them the more sure way to that thing that the mother is saying. He started teaching them. He said, the greatest among you should be your servant. He started teaching them about kingdom service. He said, don't be like the people of the world, the Gentiles that are exercising lordship over their people. He said, Jesus said, I am among you as he that serveth. He said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but I've come to minister. And the word minister means servant. He's talking of service. Service is the key to greatness in the kingdom. Am I communicating? Many are eyeing positions. Eyeing position. Position of power and authority. But Jesus said the key to greatness, to power, is kingdom service. Hallelujah. Serve with all your heart. Serve with all your life. The second area of kingdom service is engage in kingdom advancement prayers. Engage in kingdom advancement prayers. Serve God with intercessory prayers and fastings. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible talks about Anna the prophetess, who was a widow. The Bible says she served God with what? Fastings and prayers. Glory to God. So fasting is a form of kingdom service. So you learn to intercede for the advancement and establishment of God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Engage in partnering with God in prayers to enforce and establish his will, his plans and purposes on earth. You know, we can partner with God through intercession. We can partner with God when we engage in prayer. In Matthew 6, 9 to 10, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth. It takes partnership with God in prayers to establish and enforce his will on earth. We are laborers together with God. We labor in prayers, intercession. Am I communicating? Before give us this day, thy will be done on earth. Before you pray and petition God about your personal need, think of what? Kingdom. He says, seek first the kingdom. Ask yourself, does God have a need? Does he have a need? Yes. And he needs you to partner with him to enforce his will, to meet his needs on earth, to see the kingdom come, to see the kingdom advance, to see souls saved. So intercede for the salvation of the lost. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. It says, I exalt therefore that first of all, prayers, supplications, intercession be made for all men and for kings and those that are in authority. So you learn to engage in heartfelt intercession. To bet the will of God, to bet the plans and purposes of God, to enforce the will of God, to enforce his plans and purposes. Kingdom advancement prayer. Number three, engage in soul winning or witnessing. Engage in soul winning or witnessing. John 15:16. The third area of kingdom service is engaging in soul winning and witnessing. You become a soul winner. John 15:16, it says, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name will I give to you. Did you see that? I have ordained you, I have anointed and appointed you, that you should go and bring forth fruit. So you go and win souls, and that your fruit should remain. That talks of what? Follow up and retention. It's called abiding souls. Am I communicating? In Mark chapter 4 verse 19, Jesus spoke to Peter and his brother Andrew. They were fishing and all of that. He said, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. I will transform you to become those that fish men. Become a fisher of men. Engage in soul winning. Are you aware there is a soul winner's crown that Jesus is going to give
every soul winner. For every soul you win, Jesus is going to reward you with a crown in heaven. Am I communicating? Somebody has once said, now the same heaven where they go, Renard Bonker. D.L. Moody. Look at the lives, John Wesley. Look at the lives, T.L. Osborne. All those passionate soul winners. There are some Christians, since they got born again, they've never led one soul to Christ. Don't be a fruitless investment now. You were saved to serve. You were saved so that you will become a channel to save others. Invest in soul winning. Engage in all manner of soul winning activities. Okay? Soul winning endeavors. Make effort. Make effort. We are laborers together with God in the business of soul winning. Jesus said, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." To seek and to save that which was lost. Go after the lost souls. There is more joy in heaven over every soul that gets born again. Okay, you see, some of us, our problem is our value system. If I stand on this altar, I say I have a testimony. Yesterday, I went on evangelism and two souls gave their life to Christ. As if I thought they clap. But if I stand on the altar, I say, I just want to testify to the glory of God that yesterday the Lord just blessed me with a brand new private jet. The whole church will get up. Some people will even carry their seat on their head. Some will almost mob me. I will need security around me after that service. Because everybody will be coming for connection. So, can I serve as your PA? I'm a faithful servant in this church. Pastor knows me. You know, now, why don't we value souls? Because something is wrong with our values. Are you not supposed to value what your heavenly Father value? Jesus said, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What shall a man give? I tell people, if we spend $10 billion for a program and only one soul gave his life to Christ, one soul was reached out to and impacted, it is more than worth it. Because Jesus said, this whole world and everything inside, everything, the wealth of the world, is not up to the value of one soul. The soul of men is more important than money. Did you hear what I just said? This is what motivates us to preach the gospel. Sometimes I feel so tired. I feel like resting. But when I think there's still one soul out there that we need to reach out to with the gospel, I'm motivated. Regardless of how I feel. Am I communicating? There are times that after vigils, I will still have to go for radio broadcast. Imagine. After vigils, snow. Before I get home. Already sick sometimes. And sleep, my eye is doing like, and you know, I still have radio broadcast to go for. But when I think, hey, there's another soul out there that needs to hear the gospel, sleep go clear from my eye. Are you passionate about souls? Apostle Paul said, I became all things to all men that I may, what? By all means, save some. Save some. Be passionate about soul winning. Be committed to soul winning. Invest your time, your energy. There's nothing like you don't have time. Everybody has time to do what is important to them.
when you place value on something, you create the time to do it. There is no excuse. Am I communicating? Okay. If we say for every soul you win, £1,000, will you still give excuse? Some people will become emergency highest soul winners. Okay, let's say between now and next Sunday, for every soul you win and present next week Sunday, £1,000. Life, and you are sure we are going to give you. You will be surprised, Pastor Mafe. The people you least expect will win the highest number of souls. This whole place will not be able to contain us. I'm telling you, some overflow self. Are you seeing something? So why are you not doing it? It's because you don't put much value on it. It's as simple as that. Go and change your thinking. Am I communicating? There has to be a reorientation. Say, I receive grace to win souls. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15. Anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Those that don't believe shall be damned. And then he said, these signs shall follow. Signs and wonders follow soul winners. Am I communicating? Heaven will deploy every resource to back you up. God will sponsor a soul winner. One of the category of people that are very precious in God's sight, those that God is unwilling to do without. Should I tell you? Number one, soul winners. Number two, givers. Number three, intercessors. Those three, they occupy a very special place in the heart of God, because God's kingdom agenda depends on those three sets in that order. Soul winners, givers, and what? Intercessors. God is unwilling to do without them. If you are these three, forget it. You have made it. You have already made it. Glory to God. So preach the gospel, teach the gospel with every passion and urgency. Witness for Christ by all scriptural means and at all times. Partner with God to turn many to righteousness, to depopulate hell in order to populate heaven. Hallelujah. Like Renard Bonnke will say. Then the fourth area of kingdom service is how do I put this now? Partnering financially to promote and propagate the gospel of Christ. Let me put it that way. Partnering financially to promote and propagate the gospel of Christ. Luke chapter 8 verse 1 to 3. So you become a faithful financial partner to promote and propagate the gospel of Christ. See, giving is part of kingdom service. In fact, any service without the sacrifice of your substance is fake. You can't claim to love God that you don't give to. Impossible. There is no true love without giving and sacrifice. So this is very important. Engaging in what? Financial partnership, as in kingdom financial partnership. You are using your money and material resources in order to what? Push the gospel. You are investing your money and material resources into kingdom business. Am I communicating? You are putting it into the gospel. Look at Jesus. Even Jesus had financial partners. He said it came to pass afterward, he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom, and the 12 were with him. Next verse. And certain women, I don't know what happened to the men, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, he had impacted their lives. His ministry was impactful. He said, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Next verse. He said, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance.
Give me this in NIV, NLT. NLT. Are you getting me? These were his partners, the women that were mentioned. They were his Mary Magdalene, Susanna, Chusa, all of that. They were his partners. Am I communicating? They were putting their money into kingdom business to ensure that Jesus goes about preaching the gospel without being hindered financially. Am I communicating? He said these women were helping to support them out of their own means. They were financial helpers, financial partners. They committed their resources. They committed their money. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There are some of us here, our Village People Association, don't they pay dues? They pay dues, yearly dues, monthly dues, or they need to do something. And one of the criteria they use to judge a committed member of that association is your what? Faithfulness in paying dues. Very important. So many of us, we are very serious when it comes to that one. But when it comes to the kingdom, because nobody is disturbing you, so you don't see it as important. Wise up. I'm not saying you shouldn't pay your dues in your Village People this thing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying become wise. Be a kingdom investor. Am I communicating? In Philippians 1 verse 5. Philippians 1 verse 5. Even some of us, even our class group or our friends want to marry, compulsory levy. Everybody, 20K, Ashoebi money, you must pay. But gospel, kingdom partnership, you are firing blank there. And you think you are wise. See how wise you are. If I compose a bestseller for you, let me talk like Mike Mudock. See, I compose a bestseller for you. How dumb thou art. How dumb, you know. Dr. Mike Mudock is very funny. You know, me as a policy, I cannot give to any village association or any of those kind of thing what I've never given to God. It will never work. It will never work. My standard of giving must be higher than my standard of living. Make up your mind that your standard of giving must be higher than your standard of living. Some of you can go with your friend, enter one restaurant, blow 10K without looking back. But to give God offering, even 1K, you dey begrudge the 1K. You know too much. It's 1K. If you buy half mudu of rice. Meanwhile, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom with your finance. Praise God. Your love for God is fake if you don't give towards his kingdom agenda. He said, for your fellowship, give me an amplified. Philippians 1:5, your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Look at it. I thank my God for your fellowship, your sympathetic cooperation, and contributions and partnership in advancing the good news, the gospel. From the very first day ye headed until now. See, from the first day Apostle Paul preached to the church, the believers in Philippi, from the first day they heard the gospel, they started partnering with him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? From the day one, they became his partners to advance the gospel. You have heard gospel. You have heard. You have. In fact, you even sleep listening to the gospel. But your 1 naira never enter partnership. The Lord will help you. Let me talk like Brother Billy Akani. The Lord will help us. Praise God. Philippians 1:7. It says, ye are all partakers of my grace. Through their partnership, they became partakers of his grace. Then jump to Philippians 4 verse 15. Philippians 4 verse 15. Are you learning something? While he's going to that, let me just tell you the story. In Luke chapter 5:1-7, Jesus was preaching and there was a large crowd. He now said, Peter, let me use your boat. Let me use it as a platform to preach. Peter borrowed Jesus, his boat, and Jesus sat in the boat and preached to the crowd. When Jesus had finished preaching, he said, how do I pay this guy now? He said, He said, launch out to the deep for a catch. He said, Master, we've toiled all night, we caught nothing. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. The moment he obeyed, there was a miraculous catch, mighty breakthrough. The boat was sinking. Am I communicating? They had to beckon to the partners who came, and their own boats too were filled. You see the power of partnership. You see the power of partnership. The same grace, the same anointing, the same thing that is upon that minister, upon that ministry, upon that church will be flowing into your life too. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So, Peter sold his boat, as in to Jesus, to preach the gospel, to do kingdom business. And Jesus rewarded him with the blessing that led to the miraculous catch of fish. Hallelujah. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye also, next verse, ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye said once and again. He didn't say once and forever. Some people, they say they are partnering. They give only once. That's the end. He said once and again unto my necessity. Next verse. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound. To whose account? To your account. Okay? When I saw this, I understand giving better. When I give to somebody, I'm not doing the person a favor. I'm doing myself a favor. It abounds to my account. Glory to God. I'm honoring a law. Next verse. He said, but I have all and abound. I'm full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Next verse. But my God, can you see this prayer? My God shall what? Supply. Okay, let's read it. 1, 2, 3, go. But stop. Some of you are sleeping. Oh yeah, clear your voice very well. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is the only church he prayed this prayer for. Why? Because they were his financial partners. A man of God say, attempting to claim this Philippians 4:19 without doing what they did from Philippians 4:15 down to the 19 makes you a spiritual 419. But this prayer is upon partners. Am I communicating? Glory to God. Okay, Luke chapter 7 verse 1 to 6. So, richly invest your money and material resources into the business of the gospel. Put it into kingdom advancement. It is scriptural to give land and landed properties, buildings, to the work of the gospel. The early church. Didn't you read about the revival in early church? The Bible says, as many that were possessors of land, landed property, they sold it and they put the money into the gospel. Am I communicating? Nothing is too big to give God. There is nothing that is too big for me to give God, because everything I have came from God the first place. Nothing is too big to give God. My wife knows that if God speaks to me to give her as Isaac, I'll put her inside an envelope and offer her to God. Sacrifice as Isaac. Praise God. You know, see, God himself, our father, is a giver. Am I coming? Every child of God has the nature of their father. God so gave and gave and gave until he gave himself. Am I coming? For God so loved the world that he gave himself. His only begotten son. Jesus is God in the human form. You can never outgive God. Tell your neighbor, you can never outgive God. Now, when he had ended all these sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. Next verse. And a certain centurion servant who was there unto him was sick and ready to die. Next verse. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he will come and heal his servant. Next verse. And when they came to Jesus, that's the elders, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Next verse. For he loveth our nation. See, there are certain privileges that give us enjoy. This centurion man that his servant was sick, look at what he did for the Jewish nation. He himself is not a Jew, but he said he loveth our nation. He is a Gentile, and he has built us a synagogue. He built a church. An unbeliever, it's just like saying a Muslim built a church for AGMI and gave us. Say, I love what you people are doing. Here is my humble contribution. He built a church. That's the picture there. And look at what Jesus did. Look at verse 6. When Jesus said that, then Jesus went with them. Did you see that? Did you see that? Jesus went with them. See, your good works, your seed can speak for you in the day of trouble. He said, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from his sanctuary. Remember thy offerings and thy burnt sacrifice. That is what is provoking that help from above. Am I communicating? Jesus went with them, and long story cut short, went and the servant got healed. Are you seeing something? Say, I receive grace to be a faithful partner. I receive grace to be a giver and a faithful partner for the sake of the gospel. Now, how do you serve God? What are the keys to effective kingdom service? I'll just run through it. Number one, serve faithfully. 1 Corinthians 4:1 to 2. It says, it is required, verse 2, that a man be found faithful. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Serve faithfully. The word faithful means you are committed, you are dedicated, you serve without supervision. You don't need supervision to do the right thing. Am I communicating? You are dependable, you are reliable. Am I communicating? Serve faithfully. Number two, serve cheerfully and joyfully. Serve with excitement. Don't serve with boredom. Don't serve, you know, you are serving, frowning, looking unhappy. No. Serve with excitement. Serve with joy. Serve with merriment. Serve cheerfully. Glory to God. Be excited. I told you, you are serving in the King's royal service. It's greater than every other thing. You are serving. It's not federal government. This one is the heavenly government that you are serving. So, you should serve with joy. Next, serve wholeheartedly. Serve with your whole heart. As unto the Lord, not unto men. Avoid eye service. Serve with purity of motive. Serve passionately, with concrete conviction. Serve from your heart. Serve with the whole of your heart. A heart of genuine honor for God and genuine honor for men. Number four, serve with love and compassion. I've talked about this. I say love is the basis for kingdom service. Serve with love and compassion. Glory to God. Number 5, serve in obedience. Obedience to God and obedience to constituted authority. Serve in obedience. Obey your leaders. Obey those that God have put over you. Obey God. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in what? In pleasure. Glory to God. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Isaiah 1:19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall what? Eat the best of the land. I like the way the Living Bible Translation puts it. Can somebody help us read that? The Living Bible Translation. Maybe on your phone or something. He said, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey me, I will make you rich. That's God speaking. Who has that translation? The Living Bible of this Isaiah 1:19. Check your phone. If you will only let me help you, if you will only obey me, I will make you rich. Allow God help you. Then number 6, serve relentlessly, continually and tirelessly. Don't get tired of service. Don't get tired. No matter the challenge, no matter the discouragement, no matter the distraction, serve relentlessly, serve continually, serve tirelessly. Number 7, be spirit-filled and spiritually minded in kingdom service. As you offer kingdom service, be spirit-filled and be spiritually minded. This one is important. Be spirit-filled. You offer kingdom service powered by the Holy Ghost. You offer service by the Spirit. You serve by the Spirit. Now look up. I heard this story of an usher. It was a miracle and a healing meeting. They had invited a popular guest minister that God uses mightily in the area of healing and miracles. The man was still in his hotel. He has not even arrived the venue. The usher that was serving, because this usher prepared herself to be a blessing. She spent time in God's presence, spent time in God's word, spent time in prayer. She was soaked in the Spirit. The moment somebody was passing through the door, about to enter the venue, the moment this usher shook a woman that had cancer, fire! The woman shouted, fire! Felt fire, and that was it. The woman was healed. The guest minister has not arrived. He's still in the hotel room. But because this usher was filled with the Spirit and connected with that service, prepared herself to serve well, healings have started taking place. So they were taking testimony of healing. Meanwhile, guest minister has not arrived. Now look up. When we say kingdom service, everybody is a server. It's not only when man of God carries microphone. When we come from glory service, from the first person leading opening prayer, service have started. Ministration has begun. And you don't know where your own miracle, your own breakthrough, your own word, your own revelation, you don't know which of the segment it will come from. So that's why you have to be sensitive. And all the people that are engaged in kingdom service, you prepare yourself. Soak yourself. Am I communicating? It's not only the man of God on stage. Everybody is involved in offering kingdom service. I want to see MHIS meetings in which some people at that door, the moment they enter, ushers shake them. And the pain left them. I want to hear those kind of testimonies. I want to hear that protocol. You understand? Gave somebody a handshake and the tumor disappeared. So you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You must be spiritually minded. He said to be carnally minded is death.
To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is in excess. Ephesians 5 verse 18. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. Tell your neighbor, be filled with the Spirit. Be continually filled. As you engage in kingdom service, spend time in prayer. Spend time seeking the Lord in God's word, in worship, in fasting. Every segment is important. Praise and worship is not delay tactics for the man of God to come. Mm-mm. Every segment is important. You are called even to take announcement. Do it by the Spirit. You're not doing it hurried. Calm down. Do it by the Spirit. Be Spirit led in your service. Am I communicating? Be Spirit filled. Be Spirit led. Be spiritually minded. Everybody is a minister. You see, as Steady is playing this keyboard, do you know this is ministration? It's ministry. As Ojima is doing that projection, are you aware this is ministration? Somebody may see the scripture. Now, as she's projecting this thing, if she does it by the Spirit, somebody can just look at it and then revelation, pow! You will receive light. And that confusion will clear. Am I communicating? Suddenly, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation is activated. Offer kingdom service powered by the Holy Ghost. I remember there was this year, I've forgotten, a few years back, that there was this person, his name is Mr. Kola in Abuja. You know, he's a businessman and all of that. I think we met with Apostle Joshua Selman. We met at Jabi Mall. So, did some shopping and all of that. So, we're about going back to his hotel room. So, it was this guy that decided to drive us, Mr. Kola. He decided to drive us with his car. And he drove us, and then after he drove us to the hotel room where Apostle Joshua Selman was lodging, he then said, what? He said he was having terrible pain in his leg this morning. Even when he was coming, he was managing to drive and press. He said, as he took us back, the pain was leaving. The pain was leaving. The more he drove, until the pain left totally. No prayer was offered, just service. That's the power of service. Every opportunity you have to serve the anointed, don't joke with it. Am I communicating? Just service. What was Elisha's CV, Prophet Elisha? He said, the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah. That was his highest CV. Service. Joshua was Moses' servant or minister. And that was the person God said, hand over to. Are you getting my point? Never be ashamed of service. Serve in spirit and in truth. Then the last one. Serve with wisdom and excellence. Serve with wisdom and what? Excellence. Wisdom has always been a major requirement for leadership and kingdom service. Serve with wisdom and excellence. Excellence is a manifestation of wisdom. The spirit of excellence is a manifestation of the spirit of wisdom. Every time you are serving, keep asking yourself, how can I improve on my service? This thing I'm doing, how can I do it better? Seek and look for ways to improve, ways to serve better. Always be on the lookout on the ways you can do what you are doing better. Because continuous learning and constant improvement is the master key to excellence. The more you learn, the more you improve continually. You become better and better. You keep evolving into better versions of yourself. Am I communicating? Serve with wisdom and excellence. Don't serve anyhow. Say because it is a church work. You just do it anyhow. It doesn't work like that. He that is faithful in that
which is least is faithful in much. Am I communicating? Serve with excellence. Serve with excellence. I say serve with excellence. I say serve with excellence. And what are the benefits of kingdom service? I've started listing them. Divine provisions, supernatural supplies, divine prosperity, financial prosperity, career prosperity, business, family, marital prosperity. Next, divine protection and preservation, safety and security, divine health, divine healing, divine strength, vitality, longevity, long life, divine favor. Favor, you enjoy favor when you are engaged in kingdom service. Hallelujah. You also walk in wisdom. What else? Eternal reward. Kingdom service attracts eternal what? Reward. You will be rewarded by Jesus at what? At the judgment seat of Christ. Divine commendation. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And Jesus is going to reward you beyond this world. So kingdom service does not just attract reward on this side of eternity. It also attracts reward beyond this earth. You receive eternal reward. And then lastly, kingdom service is the key to honor and greatness. Jesus said, he that serves me, him will my Father honor. You are uplifted to the position of what? Greatness. Position of honor. Let me ask you a question. The PA to the president. If you are PA to the president. If you are PA to the president. If the president is going to US, how will you go? If he's going by private jet to US, how will you go? By boat? You enjoy everything he enjoys. Am I communicating? So it's a similar principle. You enjoy divine honor, greatness, glory to God. When Jesus rode on that donkey at the triumphant entry, watch this. The women, people put their clothes, mat on the ground by palm front. Now, as the donkey is, think of what the donkey is saying in his mind. What a honor. What a privilege. Now, if that donkey was not carrying Jesus, will he enjoy all this honor? People are even hailing, Hosanna, Hosanna. So it's a similar thing. It's a similar thing. When you are engaged in kingdom service, you enjoy those things. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. I just showed you how to activate the blessing that will cause you to flourish by engaging in kingdom service. Now just lift up your hand in 1-2 minutes. Father, I receive grace for all round flourishing. I receive grace to engage in kingdom service passionately. Listen, this ministry, we are blessed with people that are passionate about kingdom service. Look at Pastor Nenku, for instance. Please celebrate Pastor Nenku. Come, sir. Just 1 minute. Now, just stand here, sir. Stand here. Come up. Come up. Okay, you want to see it? He's a humble man of God. Now, genuinely, how many people here will you say you have not been inspired by the way Pastor Nenku engages in service? How many? If it has not inspired you, let me see your hand. There's no way you will not be inspired. You see the way he serves God with his entire life. Sacrifice everything. Am I communicating? Learn. Celebrate him, sir. Why won't God settle him? Tomorrow now, by the time he's flying private jet, you will say, na church money did they chop. By the time God say na titan offering. That's what people will be saying, like they are saying on social media. God rewards his faithful servants. I say God rewards his faithful servant. Look at Dr. Ghana, he came the other day. I was telling you about him. The way he carried AGMI on his head. Then they used to call him Avalanche. As in, that is his name. The first program we held at College of, no, not College of, NFI.
School of the Supernatural in 2015. He so walked in that service. He so walked. He was the first to come. He was the last to leave. He had to ensure everything is set to. All the instruments returned. Everybody has been sorted out. All the bus transportation. When he was done, it was around after 12 the following day. After 12 the following day. He stood at British America, all the few cars passing, none of them agreed to stop. Because even if now you they drive, around after 12 midnight, somebody is saying, stop, will you stop? You think of many things, armed robbers, kidnappers, so none of them stopped. He trekked, he said he had to trek from there to his house in Lamingo. He said he got home around after 2 a.m. And he didn't tell me this story until several years later. He does it, no complaining, nothing. I tell you, you can't serve truly without sacrifice. Sacrifice of your time, your energy, your effort, your resources, your talent, your treasures. There is no genuine service without sacrifice. I want you to say, Father, this grace for King, this grace for passionate, genuine kingdom service, let it rest upon me. Let this grace for faithful kingdom stewardship, faithfulness in kingdom service, let this grace rest upon me. Are you praying? La batiza balatai, leke teke teke brakatai, rendo poco sekete. He said, they that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish. Liko bakasa balatia. Jesus said, he that serveth me, him will my Father honor. Grace, likataka brakataya. Kombala sibalatia, rendege breketekete, elo frekete liga brakatai. I receive grace for effective kingdom service. I receive grace. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless thy bread and thy water. I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. This faithful kingdom service, we activate the blessing. The blessing, we guarantee supernatural provision, divine supplies. The blessing, we secure your health. The blessing, we release the grace for divine health and divine healing. The blessing, we activate supernatural protection and preservation. The blessing, mandaka barakatai, we cause you to prosper. Leader brandekeba, it will rest upon the works of your hands. Ikatose gila brandaka palatai. In the name of Jesus, listen, regardless of your position and your title, I've heard of in Redeemed Church, Redeemed Christian Church of God, you will see multi-billionaires as ushers. Ushers serving. I heard of a president in one of these African countries that is an usher in his church. He's the president of the country, but he's an usher. Am I communicating? Because they have understanding of kingdom service. Not even his position as president, not even their titles as billionaires or whatever, will stop them. Am I communicating? From engaging in kingdom service. It requires humility. I want you to cry out to God one more time. Father, regardless of my titles, regardless of my degrees, my achievement, I cast everything down at your feet. I receive grace for humility to engage in kingdom service, to serve you wholeheartedly, to serve you with the right attitude of heart, to serve you with the right motive. Lika bakasa balataya. Ila kom breketena. Ila barondo so breketi la balatai. Shatatata kabarakatai.
Shataka babonde ke brakatai. Grace for humility. Grace to engage in kingdom service with a heart of love, with a heart of humility. Lika bakasataya. With a heart of genuine honor for God. Lika barondo brekete. And humanity. In the name of Jesus.
Right now, I want to give opportunity to anyone under the sound of my voice, either in this hall or following online. You want to say yes to Jesus. You want to surrender your life to Christ. You want to become a child of God. You want to receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus has already paid for with his own blood. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other name. There is no name given under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. I want to give you this opportunity right now. Or perhaps you gave your life to Christ before, but you backslid, you went back to the world, but you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want to surrender to him all over again, and you want to get serious in your relationship with God. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. And if you are lifting up your right hand, I want you to say this prayer after me. Believe it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins, and on the third day you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.